Good evening, everybody. If we could have your attention, welcome this evening. Certainly glad you could join us this evening. My name is Dan Rohr. I'm a local business owner and soon to be the Kodiak Island Borough Mayor here on the 24th. And wanted to just welcome you to Kodiak. Obviously, those of you in the audience are here from Kodiak. We've got people listening statewide, and we want to welcome you all. And certainly, KVOK, thank you for putting this on the air for us. Tonight, we have the opportunity to hear from four of our five Alaska candidates running for the United States Senate. They'll be answering questions from our panelists here and debating fisheries issues. The senatorial fisheries debate has become an Alaskan tradition, and it had its beginnings back in the early 1990s. Tonight's focus on Alaska fisheries industry helps highlight the state's largest private sector employer and gives the candidates an opportunity to discuss federal issues facing the industry. Candidates, I want to thank you for being here tonight and braving the weather to get here the last few days. Joining us tonight is our moderator, Senator Gary Stevens. The senator serves District P in the Alaska State Legislature, which encompasses Kodiak Island, Homer, Cordova, and numerous other coastal communities. He served for 4 years as president of the Alaska State Senate and was the national chairman of the Council of State Governments in 2013. He has been a legislator for 16 years, 14 in the Senate, and 2 in the House of Representatives. Currently, Senator Stevens chairs the Joint Legislative Council, chairs the Legislative Task Force on Civics Education, and is a member of the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee, the Senate Education Committee, as well as the Joint Alaska Arctic Policy Committee and the Select Committee on Legislative Ethics. Senator Stevens serves as an ex officio member of the Board of Directors of the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute and the Alaska Aerospace Corporation. So, Gary, thank you for being our moderator tonight. Tonight, we have three individuals here who will be asking questions of our candidates tonight. I want to tell you a little bit about them. Julie Matway Yu is an assistant professor with the University of Alaska Fairbanks and the Alaska Sea Grant Marine Advisory Program agent for the Kodiak Island Archipelago. She holds a master's degree in biological oceanography with research emphasis in paralytic shellfish poisoning. She has worked as a commercial fisherman in the Gulf of Alaska, in Aleutian Islands, and throughout Alaska in the field of environmental remediation. As a MAP agent, Matway Yu works to bring relevant training and information to fishermen, engages in community outreach and education activities, and works with local and statewide organizations to sustain healthy coastal ecosystems, safe and sustainable fisheries, and marine literacy. Thank you, Julie. Julie Bonnie is the owner and executive director of Alaska Groundfish Data Bank in Kodiak. It's a membership organization made up mostly of Kodiak-based shoreside trawler and processor businesses. Alaska Groundfish Data Bank is involved in commercial fisheries management and research and is a cooperative manager for the 7 Kodiak-based rockfish program shoreside fishing cooperatives. Julie currently serves on several North Pacific Fisheries Management Council committees and is a board member of the North Pacific Fisheries Research Foundation, the Marine Conservation Alliance, and is also our vice president for the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce. Julie, thank you. Jeff Stephen is the manager of the United Fishermen's Marketing Association, which acts on behalf of its members with respect to seafood marketing, scientific, social, and economic research, as well as federal and state regulatory, legislative, and policy matters. UFMA examines these issues as they apply to the understanding, wise use, conservation, and management of marine and fishery resources in the Gulf of Alaska and the Bering Sea Aleutian Islands. Jeff served on the North Pacific Fisheries Management Council and is currently a member of the Council's advisory panel. Jeff was involved in crafting the legislation that created the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, the Fishery Industrial Technology Center, and is one of the original incorporators of the Kodiak Regional Aquaculture Association. Jeff is currently chair of the North Pacific Research Board Advisory Panel. He came to Kodiak in 1973 and has fished shrimp, king crab, tanner crab, and herring in Kodiak, South Alaska Peninsula, the Bering Sea, and in Togiak. Jeff served as an elected official here in Kodiak on the Kodiak City Council for 6 years and served on the Kodiak Board of Education for 18 years. Thank you for your service, Jeff. I want to thank our panelists tonight, Julie Matwayu, Julie Bonney, Jeff Stevens. Thank you for being our fisheries panelists tonight. So, Gary, I'll turn it over to you.
Well, thank you, Mr. Mayor, and congratulations on your recent election. We're very proud of you, and you. As I pointed out earlier to the mayor, he's not made a single mistake so far.
Thank you.
So this evening we have on hand four Alaska candidates running for the United States Senate: incumbent Republican Senator Lisa Murkowski, Democrat Ray Metcalf, independent Margaret Stock, and independent Breck Craig. We're very pleased to have you all here. We're looking forward to learning a lot about you, and I know the audience wants to know what's going on and decide who they're going to vote for. At this point, each candidate will be given 2 minutes for introductory remarks. We did draw names from a hat, and I've asked who goes first, and actually we'll begin with Mr. Metcalf, Ray Metcalf.
Thank you, Senator Stevens. Just to give you a little bit of background about myself, I was in the legislature in the 70s and 80s. I served with Zaroff, who was representative from this area for years. And one of the conversations I had with Zaroff when he was in the House was, you know, we need to be thinking today about what we're going to do when the oil runs out. And to give a little bit of my background in the legislature, you know, when we were writing the rules for the permanent fund, how it's going to be invested, there was a lot of pressure to let bankers play with it, do the same sort of thing that's happened on Wall Street. There was a lot of pressure for the oil companies to build infrastructure with it. Some people wanted to build Susitna Dam with it. And after hearing a lot of things, I was one of the two co-authors of the language that effectively said it's going to be an investment fund, a growth fund. So those are among the things that I've done for Alaska. The other things that I've done that you would have in more recent memory, you might remember that VECO got busted for bribing your legislators. They were really bribing them to let oil companies take our oil for a fraction of its real value, and they had been doing that for 30 years. We wouldn't be broke if that had not happened. When they were busted, those six legislators went to jail. And for about 6 years, we got a much larger share of the oil revenues. And it's the $16 billion that we saved up that we're now spending down as we live today. So that's kind of my history. Those are the things you might remember me for. You might not have connected the VECO thing to me, but I was largely responsible for that. And the other things that I've done for this state, I have been one of the primary sources of education on the value of our resources. I have educated people on the value of our oil, tried to educate them on international oil markets and what other people get. For example, while we were fighting over Senate Bill 21, Iraq was signing a contract with British Petroleum to give our oil away to produce their oil for $2 net profit a barrel, and they were making $32 net profit a barrel here.
Thank you, Representative Metcalf. I appreciate your comments. Our second speaker will be Mr. Breck Craig. And I urge all of you to watch the timers. Please, we'll call you when you go over, if you go over.
Thank you, Senator Stevens. It's good to be here. Thank you for the invitation. My name is Breck Craig. I'm running for the U.S. Senate. I'm an unaffiliated, independent citizen candidate. Never ran before. It's a real honor to be here. Not a commercial fisherman, so this is new to me in a lot of ways, but I believe I have something to offer. I've done a lot of research, and I believe that all catches should be landed. I think that the boats should be paid for these catches, regardless of what their primary quota is calling for. I believe the Alaska fishing processing industry is largely headquartered out of Alaska, and we need to figure out how to bring that back so that they're headquartered here. I think that Alaska has a great future with the fishing industry we have, but we have a lot of work to do. I think 80% of Bristol Bay fishing permits are now held by non-residents. This is the most valuable salmon fishery in the world. I know on a personal note, for us dip netters on the Kenai, there was nothing to catch this year. That was a real problem, and it upset a lot of people. I think we need to update our fisheries practices to better address the human element and subsistence fishing. Subsistence villages aren't getting their catches. I believe that boats need to be paid fair market price for their catches, all of it. I think the bycatch problem is an environmental disaster. I think discarding millions of pounds of edible, usable seafood while targeting other species is a disgrace. I believe that government processors and fishing fleets need to work together. They need to team up for the benefit of all.
And if you sum up, Mr. Craig.
Oh, thank you. That's it.
Okay.
I've got a lot more.
All right. Thank you so much. We'll go on to Senator Lisa Murkowski. Senator Murkowski.
Thank you, Senator Stevens, and thank you to the people of Kodiak for once again hosting a debate that focuses on the issues. I am proud to represent Alaska's fishing families. I was born in Ketchikan when my dad was in the Coast Guard there, so I understand that side of safety and response, and I've got great respect for those who protect our fishermen on a daily basis. My grandparents were engaged in the fish wars at the time that ultimately led to statehood. Our sons have put themselves through college by working in the commercial fishing industry. They worked tender out in Bristol Bay and down in Southeast. One of them had a stint as a crabber in the Bering Sea. I have been immersed in fisheries issues since I first came to the United States Senate, and whether it is working to enhance IUU regulation or whether it is fighting some of the burdensome regulations that we hear coming out of the agencies that impact our fishermen. My direction, though, in Washington has always been based on what I hear from our fishing families and from our fishing communities. And it's when I'm out on the docks in Cordova and I'm talking to fishermen that are hosing off their decks, literally, and recognizing that that is a reportable incident for discharge to the EPA and really the ridiculous notion of that regulation. Out in Dutch Harbor just last week, talking to crabbers as they're getting ready for the upcoming season and understanding the recent surveys that we've seen with bear dye and with snow crab and the impact that will have not only to them but to the community out there. Up in Emonic, to realize that just one dock can help a community with jobs and opportunities. These observations that I have as I'm in your community with our fishermen is what drives me, and I'm pleased to be able to speak to them this evening.
Thank you very much, Senator. We'll now move on to Colonel Margaret Stock.
Thank you, Senator Stevens. Thank you for inviting me. I'm very happy to be here in Kodiak, and my name is Margaret Stock. I appreciate very much being here for this debate. I recognize that the seafood industry is our state's largest private employer, and we all recognize the critical importance of Alaska's fisheries. I expect, however, that I'm an unfamiliar face to the vast majority of the folks out there in the audience, so I want to tell you a little bit about my background. I'm a 30-year Alaska resident. I came to Fort Richardson, Alaska, as a lowly military police officer in 1986. Following that, I spent 28 years as an Army Reserve officer in the military police, and I am presently a retired lieutenant colonel. I spent time on and off active duty during that 28 years. I have also had a career as a private attorney in Alaska since 1993. In that capacity, I've represented many Alaskans, including many people in the fishing industry and many companies in the fishing industry. Most notably, I'm known for having saved a Trident seafood manager out in Dutch Harbor from being deported, a story which was reported in the Alaska Anchorage Daily News years ago. I have also served as a professor of constitutional and national security law at the United States Military Academy at West Point, New York, and I've been an adjunct professor at the University of Alaska. I have testified before Congress repeatedly on issues relating to the military, to immigration, and to national security issues, drafted legislation, and worked with Senate and House staff members on important policy issues. I'm a graduate of the Harvard Law School, the Harvard Kennedy School of Government, and the Army War College. I've served on many boards and commissions, and of interest to this group and the debate tonight, I currently serve on the board of the Prince William Sound Science Center in Cordova, Alaska. Thank you again for inviting me.
Thank you, Colonel Stock. And thank all four of you for your willingness to be here, for stepping forward, for running for office. And I know it's not been easy to get here. Many of you have had delayed flights, but I'm very pleased to see you all here. Before we start our first round, I do need to thank our industry sponsors. They are the Kodiak Island Borough, the City of Kodiak, Koniag Incorporated, Groundfish Forum, United Fishermen of Alaska, Pacific Seafood Processors Association, Alaska Bering Sea Crabbers, the At-Sea Processors Association, and Alaska Leader Seafood. Thank you all very much for sponsoring this event. I also want to make note of the KMXC Public Radio, who are broadcasting this, and the gentleman sitting next to me, the General Manager Mike Wall, as well as the Kodiak Chamber of Commerce and its staff, Trevor Brown, and other staff members that are here. So some rules of the road, we're using a timing light, as you can see. A green light indicates you're free to speak. A yellow light indicates 10 seconds remaining. A red light indicates your time is up, and your microphone will be cut off in 5 seconds. That's really mean, isn't it? But that's the rules we're working under. It's so important that you're here, so important that we have this night, and thank you very much for doing that. We'll now roll through the names and give everyone a chance to be first, second, third, and fourth, and we'll go to the first round, which begins with the fisheries panelists, three panelists across the way here, posing questions to the candidates. The candidate then goes, that goes second will go first for the next question. We'll go on that way. The candidates have 1 minute to respond to the same question. And we'll begin with Mr. Stephan.
Good evening and welcome to Kodiak. I'm very pleased that you're all here. My question goes to Mr. Craig. Many in the Alaska seafood industry have expressed concern with the fact that the Russian seafood embargo bans the import and sale of Alaska seafood products. The Russian embargo has had a significant impact on the profitability of Alaskan seafood producers. Does it make sense, and the question is, does it make sense for the United States to establish a reciprocal restriction on the importation of Russian seafood products? If so, how would you advance the implementation of such a ban?
That's a great question, Jeff, and the answer is yes, we absolutely have to retaliate. And if, as I understand it, our markets are also flooded regularly by illegal Alaskan king crab. That drives down the price of our cream cab industry as well. How we implement that, I'm not really sure. I'm sure there's federal agencies that we go to, and if it's part of the WTO, I imagine we'd take those actions. It's something I know that illegal importation of fish into the United States is a real issue that drives down the price of our own fish, and it dilutes the value of the Alaskan sustainable seafood industry overall. That's it.
Thank you. The next individual, the next candidate is Senator Murkowski.
Well, we've got some problems with the Russians right now. The embargo that you're speaking of is having a considerable impact, as you have stated, but it is not just in this area. We are dealing with the Russians that effectively are utilizing our good name, our good brand, and this is something that I worked on aggressively in the Senate to change the nomenclature, in other words, the way that we brand our pollock, for instance. Alaska pollock, that name was being utilized by the Russians, by everyone, actually, now that we have been successful in changing that nomenclature. Europe is actually looking to change it as well to make sure that when we're talking about a branded quality coming from Alaska, it is not being high-graded, if you will. And it's not just the pollock. As Mr. Craig mentioned, it is also with the golden king crab. This is something that we're working on as we speak. We actually have language in the appropriations bill that will work to address this nomenclature issue. So,
thank you, Senator. And if you would sum up, please.
Thank you. Trying to observe your time, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. And if someone would like me to repeat the question, I'd be happy to do so. Ms. Stock?
Well, I think it's interesting that this has been a long-standing problem for many years, and the current Alaska congressional delegation has not made a whole lot of progress on it. Despite promises at the last fisheries debate in 2014, Senator Dan Sullivan then said he was going to aggressively work to address this problem and has made no progress as far as I can tell. I think it's clear that Americans want to know where their seafood is coming from. Other folks in the world want to know where their seafood is coming from. And we now have loopholes in the law that allow processed seafood to hide the origin of it. We also have illegal crab from, it's from Russia, Russian king crab and Russian pollock coming into our market where we don't really know the origin because it's not labeled properly. There are things that we can do. We've aggressively, I think in Alaska, called for labeling of frankenfish, and we can label Russian fish appropriately too, possibly with the use of QR codes or other modern technology that would satisfy consumers. They could pull out their smartphone at the supermarket and figure out where exactly that fish is coming from. This is something we can do with aggressive efforts on the on behalf of Alaskans by Alaska's congressional delegation.
Thank you, Colonel.
Thank you. Representative Metcalf.
Yes, Jeff. I've listened to the three answers, and every one of them was so far apart from the last answer, I'm going to ask you to restate the question. They sounded like different answers to different questions.
You bet. And I'll give you the introduction, too, here. Many in the Alaskan industry have expressed concern with the fact that the Russian seafood embargo bans the import and sale of Alaska seafood products. The Russian embargo has had a significant impact on the profitability of Alaska producers. Does it make sense for the U.S. to establish a reciprocal restriction on the importation of Russian seafood products? And if so, how would you advance the implementation of such a ban?
It's my contention that people have a right to know what they're putting on their plate. And one of the things that I would promote, not just with the seafood industry, but with all the food industries, is that that things need to be properly labeled so you know what you're putting on your plate. And those areas of where people are concerned about, they have a right to know. And there's been a lot of pushback from all kinds of industries about labeling. So if it's coming from Russia, it should be labeled from Russia.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Metcalf. So and now we'll go on to our next panelist. I believe it's Julie Medwayu.
Yes, hi, and again, welcome to Kodiak. Senator Murkowski, you'll be the first candidate up, and I'll read the question, and if you want me to repeat it, just please ask. Access to federal fisheries has become a hot topic for the state of Alaska, Alaska's rural communities, and the next generation of fishermen wanting to enter the fisheries. Understanding that this is under the purview of the North Pacific Fishery Management Council, do you have suggestions on how to facilitate entry and upward mobility into established and developing catch share programs? Senator?
Well, you're asking several questions here, so I want to speak to the reality that we have where we do not have young people entering the fleet anymore. It's the exception rather than the norm. We have a graying, aging fleet, and what we can do to get young people into our fisheries industry is something that I think we all need to be concerned about. Part of it is the financial limitation, the ability to buy in, the permits, and the reality is that we do not have a sufficient support, I believe, for younger people to access these programs. We're working with Congressman Young and Senator Sullivan on an initiative that is called Young Fishermen. And it is effectively working to provide them opportunities for loans through Community Loan Bank, working to ensure that they have the same access to loans that a farmer would. Our fishermen are not considered farmers under the definition of agriculture.
I do apologize, Senator, but we need to wrap that up.
I'd like to continue this conversation in another question. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Stock?
Yes.
The entry barriers are, in fact, high, and that's a concern that folks in Kodiak have expressed to me in the last few days as I've been campaigning through Kodiak. I understand that it costs a tremendous amount of money for someone who is not related to somebody who already is in the industry to enter the industry. It's also difficult in terms of switching from one species to another and catching fish to switch from one to another nowadays. I think we're seeing an evolution similar to what happened with family farms in America. We used to have a lot of family farms, and then the giant agro businesses took over. People saw backlash against that and decided to try to encourage young people to become farmers yet again. And we're seeing a similar evolution in the fishing industry. I support the idea Senator Murkowski has mentioned of trying to get loans for younger folks who are interested in the fishing industry. I think that's a great idea. But there are other things we can do structurally in the industry to try to prevent our fishing industry from turning into a giant corporate multinational conglomerate and wiping out local fishing communities that have been in place for decades.
Thank you. Representative Metcalf.
Oh, me?
I believe you're next.
That's Metcalf. Okay. Anyway, I believe that the current structure of catch shares is part of the problem. Alaska has a constitution that says that the resources are common. We own them in common. And there's been a lot of effort to privatize our resources that, and if it's good for Alaska, if it's good for in Alaska waters, it should be good for federal waters, that they remain a public resource. And when you privatize them and enable catch shares, there will come a day when people who live here in Kodiak are paying people who don't live in Kodiak for the right to catch fish. And I think we need to get back to the common ownership of the commonly held resource.
Thank you. And Mr. Craig?
Yeah, I agree with Representative Metcalf. I think that we need to rethink the whole quota system. I think that the time has come to reevaluate the soundness of having a large block of quotas owned by people who are even no longer fishing and they don't even live in the state. And they drive up the price of the quotas. I agree with what Margaret said about the high barrier to entry. I was down talking to a fishing captain today and getting into the, getting a boat, getting the quotas and everything you need is well over $1 million now. You know, this is not conducive to young people getting into the business. So there's I don't know what's been going on to this point, but things need to change.
Thank you.
Made it.